I'm Leslie McShane, and this is the new Old You, a place where women 50 and over are able to come together to figure out who they really are, what they want, and how they're going to get there. If you're like me, you're ready to do some rediscovering, and that's what we're going to do together, with people who know, and most importantly, with each other. It's time to take a little time for yourself, because honestly, you deserve it. Welcome to the New Old You with Leslie McShane. I'm Leslie, and today I'm touching on a subject I don't know a lot about, but I've definitely had some curiosity. In fact, when I started this podcast and talking about and helping people, women specifically, deal with issues of being 50 plus, menopause obviously listed at the top. And I've started heading that way in my podcast conversations. And a friend of mine, Lisa Strong, reached out to me suggesting that I discuss hormone replacement therapy, which she at the time was considering. I told her that I would look into it. And fast forward a few months, and I reached back out to her to get a little more information and found out that she had gone ahead and done it. She couldn't say enough about the results that she was getting. She suggested that I reach out to the Cunningham Clinic in Denver, Colorado, where she had gone, and speak to Christina. And she's with me today, along with Kimberly Cunningham, the owner of the Cunningham Clinic. They are here today to educate me and you on hormone replacement therapy, and especially biological hormone replacement therapy that they offer. Before I bring in Kimberly and Christina, I want to give you a little background on them. After years in pharmaceutical sales and marketing, Kimberly Cunningham entered graduate school to become a healthcare provider, completing her MS in nursing and BSN at the University of Colorado College of Nursing. She is board certified and has licensure with the American Academy of Nurse Practitioners. She is a board certified nurse practitioner and advanced practice nurse, as well as a registered nurse in the state of Colorado. Working as a healthcare provider since 2003, her skills and practice experience cover an array of settings, including the emergency department, inpatient hospital care, skilled nursing facilities, residential treatment facilities, and internal medicine and geriatric clinics. Christina was born and raised in Tampa, Florida, and moved to Denver, Colorado in 2011 to pursue a career in nursing. After graduating from the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus, she completed a nationally recognized graduate nurse residency program at the University of Colorado Hospital. With over 5 years of nursing experience in cardiology, vascular surgery, and progressive critical care, Christina returned to the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus to pursue her master's in nursing and long-term passion and career goal of becoming an adult nurse practitioner with a focus in hormone replacement therapy and aesthetics. I am so very excited today to bring in Kimberly and Christina to the podcast. Hey, ladies, how are you today?
Hi, good. Thank you for having us.
Well, I'm sorry that took so long, but you all are both so accomplished. It took me a while to get it all out. And this is the first time I've had two guests on at the same time. So it's exciting for me.
So fun. We're excited.
Yeah. Before we get into the real subject today, I'd like for both of you to give us a little background on how you discovered the path that you're on and why you decided to pursue it.
So for me, this is Kimberly. I was in a geriatric practice for years that I loved and had no intention of leaving. So it's internal medicine and geriatrics, and I had an injury and I couldn't recover. And this was a few years after I had a top 10 time in a triathlon, and then I just couldn't get better. It was a broken pelvis, and I had 15 specialists at one point, and cycling through surgeries and trying to figure out why all of this was going wrong. It took me a few years to just crawl out of that hole. And finally, I was actually at a lab review seminar, just doing some continuing medical education credits. And I actually walked in the room and sat next to the cool bag way up on the left, because I figured if we're going to talk about blood chemistries all day, I'm going to need somebody interesting to sit next to. So So I sat next to the cool bag, and it turned out to be this girl that I went to grad school with. Her name is Jennifer. She works down south, and she'd been up in Denver for the day for the seminar. So on a break, we started talking and catching up, and she says to me, "Why aren't you doing BioT?" And I said, "What's that?" And that was 6 years ago, almost seven now. And so I didn't know that there's a whole different modality of hormone health and wellness for aging that exists outside of the United States. It's predominantly European data and publications that drive this. And this was, it just doesn't exist in the United States to the extent that other modalities of care are promoted. And so one of the first things I did, of course, was draw my blood to figure out what's my testosterone level. And for example, women should be anywhere 80 to 250. And there's a bunch of different parameters in there that dictate what we're trying to get for someone to feel better. So below 30, women don't really grow muscle. And below 20, women don't really grow bone. The numbers for men are different. This is for women. So I checked my testosterone and figured, well, maybe that's what's going on. I was at seven.
Whoa.
It didn't matter that I was doing physical therapy 9 hours a week. It didn't matter that I was eating like I was training for a race. None of it mattered, because when you don't have testosterone, you're done. Nothing is going to work. I could barely get out of the wheelchair. So the first thing I did was get myself pelleted.
Right.
And then within 3 weeks, all of a sudden I was getting muscle tone back, and I was doing nothing. I wasn't even in physical therapy at that point, because I thought, I need a break. This is, I'd spend years of this beating myself up. I just want to stop. And I was in better shape after 2 months doing nothing than I was in years of 9+ hours a week of physical therapy. Came right back. So for me, it was necessity. I didn't know I needed it. I found out about it. I was patient zero, and I will never be without my testosterone again.
Right, so right. How lucky that chain of events happened.
And thank God she carried that cool bag that day, because it was a really amazing serendipitous happenstance. That class was offered on a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I just went on a Thursday, and I just happened to see that bag. Right. So sometimes your path is chosen for you.
Right. Exactly. What about you, Christina?
So my journey with bioidentical hormone replacement therapy began when I was actually a student in nurse practitioner school a few years ago. I had the opportunity to actually be Kimberly's student. At the time, I had a passion for dermatology, and I had completed a medical dermatology rotation with UCH. And then I had advocated for an aesthetics rotation. And lo and behold, Miss Kimberly had never taken a student on in her life, but she took me on. And throughout the few months that I was with her, she introduced me to bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. I never knew anything about this. This is not something that we really get taught on in school as a nurse, as a nursing student, or as an NP student. And coincidentally, around the same time, my mom was actually transitioning into menopause. So after spending several months with Kimberly, really diving in and learning about pellet therapy, I was just about to graduate at the time. Everything just kind of aligned well, and she was seeking to hire a nurse practitioner. And I fell in love with this type of specialty that I was like, forget dermatology. This is exactly the avenue that I want to go into. Right. And we kind of get the best of both worlds, because I tune people up on the inside, and then I also get to tune people up on the outside. So we do a combination of hormones and aesthetics. And that is ultimately what I love and what I could see myself doing for the next 50 years. So it worked out perfectly. And I would say in today's world, I mean, 80% of my clientele is hormone based. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've talked about it so much. It's just second nature to me. Right. So everything just kind of aligned out the way that it was supposed to.
Right. Right. So let's talk about hormone replacement therapy. Cause I guarantee it's something that people have heard of, but probably have never considered for themselves. First of all, what is it?
So hormone replacement therapy is basically replacing what's been lost. And most people think of hormone replacement therapy as either testosterone and estrogen for women or testosterone for men. But actually, vitamin D is a hormone. Your thyroid is a hormone. So it's a little bit of a bigger picture than that. But if we just stay in the confines of menopause and andropause, so menopause is women stop ovulating and stop menstruating, and andropause is the male equivalent where the testosterone falls and they become symptomatic. So if we just look at those two, the United States does a very poor job of identifying and then treating those two groups. So for women, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, or ACOG for short, has a set of guidelines. And they're based on what was available, widely available, more like 20, 25 years ago. So that's going to be Premarin and Prempro. Those are pills. So Premarin is literally pregnant horse estrogen, which is not identical to human. Mm-hmm. And then Prempro is that estrogen plus what's called progesterone, but it's not, it's a synthetic. So Prempro's progesterone is actually methyl progestin. Sounds really close, but it's not the same medication. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are afraid of hormones because of this study that was in 2003 called the Women's Health Initiative. And they had all these women, and basically you could get one of two things, Premarin, or if you still had a uterus, you had to have Prempro, because if you are postmenopausal, you're not getting a period anymore and you're getting estrogen and you still have a uterus, then you need to have progesterone mm-hmm. to oppose that uterus, and oppose that uterine lining. Mm-hmm. So standard of care, this is all they had 25 years ago in the United States, was you could either have Premarin or Prempro. Now notice I never have said testosterone yet. Mm-hmm. So the Women's Health Initiative missed the biggest, most important hormone, which is testosterone. So we can come back to that. So this Women's Health Initiative study, thousands of women either taking Premarin or Prempro, it was stopped early in 2003 because of a statistically significant increase in breast cancer. That is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it was exclusive to the Prempro arm of the study. And it was, and it's very well known that it's because methyl progestin, which is not what humans need, women need micronized progesterone. Different thing, different molecule. Anybody who said biochemistry will go, oh, I remember that. Anyway, so it's this Prempro arm of the study. So methyl progestin, the bad synthetic, binds to the wrong receptor site and stimulates breast growth and cancer mm-hmm. in at-risk women. Mm-hmm. So then everybody was, oh no, Chicken Little, the sky is falling. You can't have your hormones no matter what. And here's what's interesting. If you go back and dive, there's a ton of data out of this study. So if you go back in and dive into other parts of it, all the women, even on that crappy pregnant horse estrogen, had better cardiovascular outcomes. Women need estrogen for heart health. They all had better Alzheimer's outcomes. Women need estrogen to prevent Alzheimer's disease. So even that really crappy estrogen part, they did better. Mm-hmm. Now they stopped recommending that medication as ongoing menopause support because of course there's a huge risk in cancer. Mm-hmm. But again, it's only in that arm of the study that had that really crappy synthetic progestin. Mm-hmm. So now you fast forward to now what we do. And by the way, pellets and bioidentical hormone replacement therapy have been used for a good 100 years. Mm-hmm. This is not new. It's just new to the United States. So it's been used in Europe. It started in France almost 100 years ago.
So yours is bio, you're saying bioidentical.
Bioidentical.
Okay.
Which means, and this is cool. So Mother Nature doesn't use one substance one time ever. She repeats herself all over the place. So it turns out that Central American yams have bioidentical estrogen and testosterone to humans. So it's also sustainable.
Mm-hmm. These are plant-based plants. Pellets.
Yeah. Okay. And so it comes from the company that we buy from is called BioT, and they use a 503B manufacturing factory site, which is, it's, if you know about manufacturing, it's really hard to get. So they're clean. They are within 3% milligrams pellet to pellet. They're within 3% pellet to pellet on performance evaluation. And so we know exactly what we're using, and it's really tightly controlled. But these plant-based pellets are there, and I don't know how they do this in the lab, but they distill it down to where there's no more yam in them at all. So it is bioidentical estrogen or bioidentical testosterone. It is exactly what your ovaries made when you were younger. Mm-hmm. So we're just putting you back to a healthy 30, 35 year old hormonal level. That's our goal. And then your body is going to work on fixing itself. So when we talk about the data and that 2003 Women's Health Initiative, which was just a huge disservice because it scared everybody. Mm-hmm. There is new data, compelling data, that was published in the European Journal of Breast Health. And that was April of this year. So April 21. And it looked at over 1,000 women over 10 years who did bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and their incidence of breast cancer. It's up to 59% reduction in the risk of breast cancer in the women who do the bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. So women need to know that there is a very safe, very effective way to treat menopause. Mm-hmm. And it's not only safe and effective, but it's actually going to lower your risk for other age-related illnesses, including breast cancer.
Breast cancer.
Huh. Yeah.
Very interesting. So you were mentioning pellets. What do you mean by pellets? And I guess this is how you perform the replacement therapy.
So to get testosterone and or estrogen into a female, you have some choices. You can do a cream, which is, you know, take it out of the tube and rub it on your skin. You can do what's called a troche, and that dissolves in the mouth. Mm-hmm. They taste terrible, and they can actually atrophy the mouth. So we don't like the troches very much. Plus, they're hard to dose. And then you also can do a pellet. And a pellet is basically this bioidentical estrogen or testosterone, and it's compressed down into, it's a pellet. It's about the size of a Tic Tac. Mm-hmm. Looks like a Tic Tac. Mm-hmm. And then the way we get them into people, it's a really simple, tiny procedure, a little bit of numbing, a tiny incision. And then we have something called a trocar, which is like a straw. And there's a little plunger and we just pop them right in, a little steri stitch, and I'll see you in 4 months. We do like to put them on the hip because that's where people tend to have a nice little bit of subcutaneous fat.
Right.
So they sit in the fat, you can't feel them at all. Mm-hmm. And just like a Tic Tac, you just slowly absorb them until they're gone.
They're time release and they will dissolve on its own.
Okay. So you get a new one every 4 months, every six months?
Every 4 months on average for women. Mm-hmm. We have some 3-monthers and those are going to be our marathon runners and unfortunately our smokers, because it is cardiac output. And then we've got a few that run a little bit longer, and those are our women in their late 70s and early 80s, because we'll Benjamin Buttons you as far back as we can and hold you there as long as we can. But right. We will still continue to age. And as metabolic right. processes slow down, then we stretch out the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how do you know when you are a good candidate for this procedure? What kind of symptoms should you be looking for?
Sure. So of course, the process begins with the lab draw. But initially, when patients are coming in, the typical complaints that we will hear, one is hot flashes, low energy, fatigue, vaginal dryness, dry skin, low libido, aches and pains. If they have history of autoimmune conditions that is stirring up inflammation in the body, poor sleep, mood instability, mm-hmm. anxiety, depression, those are weight gain.
Yeah.
That's another right. biggie.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the typical complaints that we will hear from new patients coming in to see us. Yeah.
And then so I like to start checking around age 35. Because menopause is the cessation of ovulation and you stop getting a period, but testosterone falls 15 years before.
Oh, really?
So as early as, well, it starts to fall. It's not like a cliff, but it starts
right,
to,
right.
It starts to decrease.
And right.
And so, and remember below 80 doesn't feel good. Below 30, mm-hmm. there's no muscle growth. Below 20, no bone. Mm-hmm. Now we've got a problem.
So yeah. So you don't get it 7 overnight. Right. I mean, that's something that had been going on for a long time. Yeah.
Maybe. Probably mine was my injury because it was a big injury. So
yeah.
Pregnancy can do it, trauma can do it, or it just falls over time. We have over 2,000 known endocrine disruptors in the United States that the FDA considers GRAS or generally recognized as safe. And all of Europe, even Nigeria, has banned them because they are known disruptors of your endocrine system. There's actually, I forget the name of it, but there's an ingredient in sunscreen that prevents your vitamin D synthesis. So that's bad. Mm-hmm. So I can't get rid of all of these toxins in our environment, but I can tell you that it's about 10-1 US women to European women who need hormone replacement therapy. And it's trending about a decade earlier in life in the United States. So that's environmental. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to start checking around age 35. So the two hormones, estrogen and testosterone for women, have similar and different jobs. Estrogen is the one that all the women talk about, and that's the dry vagina, dry skin, and hot flashes. Mm-hmm. And that's what women feel. And then what that hormone helps with on the inside is heart health and brain health as well, mm-hmm. and tissue integrity. And then testosterone is actually the most important hormone in men and women. Testosterone is absolutely where it's at. So testosterone is muscle tone, bone health. It's all of the antis, anti-diabetes, anti-cancer, anti-Alzheimer's, anti-heart disease, anti-high blood pressure, mm-hmm. anti-inflammation, anti-autoimmune disease, all of that is testosterone in a huge way.
It's your strongest anti-inflammatory hormone. And by age 40, most women will lose 50%, if not more, of it by age 40.
Yep. Wow.
So if we can check at 35, I can catch it as soon as it starts to fall. And then we don't have this window of time where you're not protected. So, you know, age-related illnesses, it's hard to find causation. A means B, but we've got a lot of correlation data, and it's really strong data showing that as testosterone falls, these are the things that are going to go wrong. So the sooner we can keep you optimized and healthy, the more I can prevent down the road. If I meet you at age 70, I can help, but boy, could I have made a lot of difference if I met you between 35 and 40.
Right, right. It's almost like making an investment. It's much better if you make an investment in a company at 25 versus 70. You're going to get a lot more out of it. So same.
So much easier sort of to prevent than to treat.
Right, right. Exactly. Now, hormone replacement therapy isn't just for women. I do find that I have a lot of men that listen to this podcast. So what kind of things should they be looking for to as symptoms that they might need to have hormone replacement therapy?
So it's the same thing. We want to check around age 35 for the guys. Because again, testosterone starts to fall 15 years before you get to really suboptimal levels. So we just want to watch it. And there's some things we can do in the beginning with some supplements or like some DHEA. It doesn't always have to be pellets right away. We want to support the body all the way through. I always tell people I play the long game. I want to do the right thing for today. That's going to be the right thing for tomorrow and for 20 years. So for men, it's the same list that Christina said.
Decrease in libido. Decrease in being able to build muscle. Right. Weight gain. Poor sleep, low energy levels,
high blood pressure, bad cholesterol. So here's the numbers on the men. So we know some of the numbers really well on women, like below 30, no muscle, below 20, no bone. And on the men, we've got great data. There's also another publication put out in the journal Healthcare. And that was, when was that? That was this year. That was April as well. So no, published in June. Dr. Donovitz, Gary Donovitz, who started the company BioT, published. And it's just, there's a dearth. There's not enough information on women and hormone health, but we have buckets of data on men. So the numbers on men are really telling. Below 900, there's an increased risk in Alzheimer's disease. Below 700, this is where we start seeing prostate issues, where prostate hypertrophy, that where that prostate gets too big and the men can't pee past it. And unfortunately, the medication to fix that causes erectile dysfunction. Now I got two big problems. We don't do all of this for sexy time to not be fun. We want that to be a functional part of our lives. And so below 700, we start seeing prostate issues. This one's weird. Below 600, men just die. It's a sixfold increase in mortality across the board. I have no idea why, but they just die if they don't have enough testosterone. Below 500, we start seeing metabolic issues, diabetes. Below 400, now we're talking high blood pressure and crappy cholesterol. And here's the kicker. In the United States, when you hit 287, you can finally get some shots. That's where the United States says, okay, here's your testosterone shots. Sometimes covered by insurance, not always. Here's the problem. When men do a testosterone shot, they go from zero to 3000. Above 1650 sustained, you can downregulate sex drive in a man. That's a bad thing.
They're also synthetic and they increase your rate, your risk of blood clots and prostate cancer.
Yep. So those shots are no good. We use pellets in men as well. And it's the oil that testosterone is suspended in. It just pisses off the prostate and you're going to get issues.
And they will always have a roller coaster effect because they're usually either self-administering their injections or going to a clinic once weekly or once every other week. Yeah. So they will peak for 3 to 4 days, feel great. And then the next few days they feel crappy, back to baseline. So with the pellet therapy, it's nice for men because they have more stability in their levels.
Steady state dose. Right. I have control issues. It needs to be perfect. So we like when it's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, that women, the goal would be 80 to 250, you know, for their post pellet. That's where we want them, more like 200, because then I know it's going to last all 4 months. And then for men, that 900 to 1100 is general healthy male optimal testosterone level, where I know they're out of risk for all those big ugly things. But then we've got a collection of elite athletes. And these are men that have found us because they found other healthcare clinics that say, no, you can't go above 1100. And these are guys, I mean, we got a retired Rockies player. We've got guys that went to college on a full ride, you know, sports scholarship, played semi-pro, whatever. They're still competing in triathlons, whatever it is. they always lived at a higher level of testosterone. There's no way they were that competitive when they were younger without being an outlier already. And so we get enough labs to know that they're absolutely fine. We'll run them a little bit higher, like 12 to 1400, because that's where they were when they were younger. Mm-hmm. And they don't feel normal until they get back there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we check the labs to make sure everything's fine. But there's a fairly robust collection of elite athletes that come and find us because we'll actually treat them, not page 57 in some random book. Right. So it's nice.
But speaking of the elite athletes and all the testing that's done these days, this is something that's naturally occurring. Is this something that is banned and could get you kicked out of sport?
So it's not banned. However, many sports still do testing. So I mentioned we have a retired Rockies player.
Okay.
They do measure testosterone levels. Now, in different organizations, it's different. If you have a medical documented certain number of tests it has to be from an endocrinology clinic. There's specific guidelines. And this is even for trainers. So the trainers and coaches at the Rockies, they have to jump through a bunch of hoops to be able to see us because there is so much testing.
Right.
We see them when they're retired because to go through all of those, jump through all those hoops, and they can do it. And otherwise they're going to have to retire anyway, because without the testosterone, they won't recover.
Right.
From, you know, getting beat up regularly on the field. So we typically see them in our clinic when they're retired.
So are there any side effects at all from BHRT?
Not typical. Well, yes and no. So when you start hormone replacement therapy, if you're getting pellets, it's because you don't have any hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So the definition of puberty is going from non-functional hormones to fully functional hormones. So that first round of pellets could be a little rocky because it's puberty. We have people in their 50s getting a spray of acne. You know, you might get a little bit of bloating, like premenstrual bloating, and that comes back. So it's a dance. We're just going to do this little dance for the first round of pellets until we get you tuned back up. But I have to take you back through puberty. So there are the side effects of puberty, like crankies and being an unreasonable teenager for a day or two is part of it. But then I always tell them, once the crankies go away, here comes the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the sex drive comes back, sleeping through the night without sweating,
energy levels,
pain goes down, recovery time shortened, all the good yummy stuff comes after you had a couple of weeks being a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for that, but the only way I can get you there is to get you there. So
Right.
But long-term, no. You'll see in the data set that there's an increased risk of prostate cancer in men who do testosterone therapy. That is exclusive to the shots. Mm-hmm. The risk is lowered in the pellet group. So you have to have the right kind of medication and the right delivery.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see that there's oral bioidenticals for women for the estrogen and the microdosed progesterone, but the oral estrogen increases the risk of blood clot and stroke. Because when you take estrogen by mouth, your liver is going to get a hold of it, change it enough to where that's increased. Pellets lower the risk of blood clot and stroke. So the right thing is the bioidenticals. And then the best way to get them in the body is actually via pellet placement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. About how long after you start BHRT should you be seeing these benefits? You said that you will go through the crankies for a few days. And then is it just kind of like one day? Boom.
So it varies. It varies from person to person. It really depends on how well do they absorb the pellets? What is their daily lifestyle? How active they are? How well they eat? What is their immune system like? How are they going to properly their tissues absorb those hormones, right? It varies from person to person. I've had some patients tell me that they noticed it quickly within a few weeks after they went through that quick little puberty spurt. I've others that didn't really notice it until their second round. It could take anywhere from 3 to 6 months. And I tell people, do not give up after your first treatment. It's not enough to be able to just say, oh, this didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Patients should really be giving this for at least a full year to determine whether this was beneficial to them or not.
Okay.
And I don't know when they stopped making good hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't just fix the sex hormones. So in our clinic, we're also running thyroid clinic based on European standards, which is a whole nother thing we should probably talk about. And then the vitamin D is a hormone. We tune everything up. Mm-hmm. It's not just get your pellets and go home. It's a very
comprehensive,
thorough examination, the tests, how are you, what's your history, where are your goals, where do we need to get you? We also have peptides we can use. There's and peptides like insulin is a peptide. So there's all these peptides you made when you were younger that you stop making as you age. And so sometimes we need to rely on some of those to reset systems that have gone dormant. We don't want you to go dormant. I want to keep you a healthy 30, 35 year old adult as long as I can. And so sometimes, you know, someone's come to me and they had a radical hysterectomy with their ovaries taken out 20 years ago. She's had no hormones for 20 years. I'm not going to get that back in 3 weeks, but over the course of a year, I can get her so much back, and usually just with the basics that we do. But sometimes I need to rely on some peptides, and Christina and I both have certifications in peptide health as well. And so we geek out on this stuff all the time. So we know about all this, but the thyroid is a big piece, just to touch on that for a second. So in the United States, and the American Thyroid Society's recommendations are to treat thyroid to a test that's called the TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. And here's why that's wrong. And this is what I was taught and everybody was taught.
Yeah, it's considered the gold standard in the United States.
Yeah, but it is not gold. It is not a good standard. So your thyroid is in your neck. And your thyroid is a gland, and it makes something called T4. So in your body, you make an enzyme. It's a deiodinase. You don't have to remember that word, but this deiodinase cuts it down from T4 down into 3, 2, and 1. You make these four different thyroid molecules. Now, unless you're growing a baby, T3 is what you need. So free T3 is what's active. And that is what goes into your cells. And that is what is your hair quality and quantity. It is your metabolism. It is not being cold all the time. And that free T3 is your brain clarity. If you can't think your way out of a cardboard box, you might not have enough free T3. The problem is, as we age, you stop making deiodinase. At least 50% of the people over age 50 don't make enough deiodinase. I can't give that back to you, but I can check and see if you're converting your T4 down into T3 by getting a simple extra line called the free T3. It's an extra $5. It's not fancy or expensive. So if the TSH is normal, but my patient is still hugely symptomatic, I mean, I check it out on everybody anyway. What was curious is Western medicine, you're taught the TSH, if it's normal, your patient is fine.
Right.
And that's wrong. Because if she's not cutting her T4 down into T3, she will have a completely normal TSH on her lab, but she is clearly hypothyroid. It's actually called secondary hypothyroidism because you're not making this deiodinase to cut it down. Here's where it's really bad. Your heart doesn't make any deiodinase at any time in your life. And so it relies on the other organs in your body to do this conversion for you. And our organs are like kids in the sandbox. They don't like to share. They're going to keep their own T3 and that's it. So your heart not having enough free T3 actually can contribute greatly to cardiovascular damage and poor heart health. So this is important. So it's important because women don't want to be fat with their hair falling out and brain foggy, but it's also important because remember, I play the long game. I want that heart healthy the whole time. So it's very simple. We get a TSH and we get a free T3 and we get a T4. And then I also want to check antibodies to make sure you're not attacking your own thyroid because that changes some other things that we need to work on. So when we tune up the thyroid as a big piece, in addition to the sex hormones, in addition to the vitamin D, now we're really talking because now we've done a big tune up and now the body is working. Then we see, you know, maybe 4 or 5 months from now, if we need to rely on a peptide or something else to jumpstart things, that's fine. But if we fix the big stuff, 80% of the noise goes away and people feel great.
So is it still just one pellet and each pellet is specially designed for the things that you need? Or is there one for the thyroid and one for...
Good question. So the pellets are only testosterone or estrogen. And the pellets come in different milligrams. So we've got 5 or 6 different strengths in testosterone and 4 or 5 different strengths in the estrogen. So we can really dial it up or down depending on that person's age, labs, weight, lifestyle. There's a lot of contributing factors to dosing. And you know, that's a place to start. And then we'll check labs again in 4 to 6 weeks, 4 for the guys, 6 weeks for the ladies, and then see how we did. And then remember that range in women is so big, 80 to 50. And then autoimmune disease patients, we can actually push them to 300 because that can shut the autoimmune disease down. So then we get to how are you feeling? So for example, I've got a patient, if she goes over 150, she feels terrible. She's sweating like crazy. That's too much testosterone for her. She's hypersexual. It's really distracting. Like, that's fun for 5 minutes, and then that's a little distracting. Yeah. We don't want to be teenagers again.
No.
I did that, we're done.
I got too much to do.
Right. And then for me, because of my injury and the chronic pain, if I don't hit 300, I'm not happy. But I'm golden at 300. So there's this range that becomes very, very tailored. How are you feeling? Mm-hmm, so yeah. The labs are one piece of it, but right. The biggest piece is how is the patient
feeling,
doing? Mm-hmm. And then we tweak it and we specialize it just for them. So we spend a lot of time with our patients getting to know them and what they want and what they need, because not everybody is going to be just like, you know, that patient.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We're all different. So that's
the thyroid is either supplements. So iodine, if they don't have Hashimoto's, or selenium, if they do have Hashimoto's, to see if that's enough. If they're really low, we'll put them on medication. So that's a prescription.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then, you know, the number one medication in the United States for low thyroid is something called Synthroid or levothyroxine. It's generic. Mm-hmm. It's only T4.
Does nothing to your T3. It's synthetic.
Right. Because I'm on that.
Right. So if you're not cutting down your natural T4 from your own thyroid, uh-huh. you're not going to cut this synthetic stuff either. So we have a choice. If you have too low of free T, and we get a lot of people all the time, and they come in and they say, oh, I've been on thyroid medication for years, but my doctor won't listen to me. I keep putting on weight and I'm cold and my hair is falling out and I'm tired and I don't know my name at 2 o'clock. You know, I can't form sentences in the afternoon. And so we'll check them. And sure enough, their TSH might even be low because they're on so much T4, you mm-hmm. suppress that TSH, but their free T3, which really should be 4 to 4.5.
It's like in the twos.
It's like two.
Mm-hmm.
So they are clinically hypothyroid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I show them on the lab. I'm like, look right here. I can show you, here's the number. This is why it's bad. And just today I showed that to a woman and she burst into tears because she was so relieved that she wasn't crazy. She wasn't doing it wrong. You know, she's got 70 pounds on her, and at 5'4", that's a lot. And mm-hmm. she goes to Orange Theory 4 days a week with her husband. She's doing all the things, but she has no testosterone and no functional thyroid because she's on this T4 only. So right. I just switched her to a combination T4, T3 medication, gave her some pellets, told her to take the month off because she can't exercise until that testosterone kicks in because she's just breaking down muscle and not growing it back. So she's got a month reprieve from Orange Theory. She says she's going to pause it for a month. Mm-hmm. And then when she goes back in a month, she's going to be pretty happy with what she can do in the actual gym and recover and feel good. But it's a simple, it's just a few more tests. You just get the whole picture. And is the thyroid system functioning? And if not, we fix it. Are the sex hormones functioning? If not, we replace them.
So why isn't this something that, like, your primary isn't ordering these tests? Why are they just throwing you on medication?
That's like a $1 million question.
So yeah.
So I mentioned Gary Donovitz, Dr. Donovitz earlier. He is the founder of the company called BioT, and that is where my clinic is, where we order our pellets from. You can actually order pellets from, I think there's about 12 different compounding pharmacies now that you can buy them from in the United States. But the BioT is a brand name mm-hmm. of pellets. They're the cleanest. They are, like I said, 3% pellets of pellet milligrams, 3% performance, batch to batch. And so because they have the studies to prove they're the cleanest, then that's where we buy from. So Dr. Donovitz, he brought this modality of care into the United States about 27 years ago. So he sort of started this whole thing. And he's fantastic. If you ever get a chance to interview him, oh my gosh, the knowledge dump that comes out of his head and our window is fantastic. I love every time I get to talk to Dr. Donovitz. So he started BioT, and he's out of Texas, just outside of Dallas, and slowly started teaching other people how to do this. So I met him 6 years ago when I flew to Texas and said, show me what you got. Let me learn all of this. And I'm going to integrate it into my practice. And it's really shifted how we practice. So it's growing. So sometimes primary care providers do offer bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. There's a lot of OBGYNs who now offer bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. Mm-hmm. So it is absolutely growing, but we're not there yet. So again, thank you for having us so that we can tell people.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you know, I'm like the guy walking down the beach throwing the starfish in. I save as many as I can. You know, the starfish throwing it back. So it's, you know, I'm always talking about it because I have pellets in me and I feel fantastic. And I treat my parents.
Well, it's going to be one of those things where, I mean, like I said, I didn't know anything about it and you know, I've heard about it, but there might be some sort of, for some unknown reason, some sort of stigma about it, you know, well, and it's just overcoming that thing that it's okay to go get hormone replacement therapy. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing. Well, if you get bioidentical hormone replacement therapy in either a cream or a pellet, then you're good.
Right.
But here's the thing, you know, if your doctor graduated med school 25 years ago and hasn't bothered to read anything since and got the, you know, the little blurb or the Twitter amount of information that came out from the Women's Health Initiative, that doctor's going to say, don't do that. You'll get cancer.
Right.
Because they read a headline in 2003. So we review regularly hundreds of studies per year in our practice to guide our care that are all evidence-based. This latest one that was just published in April was 1,000 patients over 10 years. It's not, this is not tiny little data sets, and it's not an anecdotal, hey, this one time I saw this, you should try it. No, this is legitimate, solid decades worth of data that drives our practice. And so we're trying to get the word out. But if a doctor hasn't read, I can't help that.
Exactly. And that's why, I've always been, one of those people that says that, you know, I am the boss of my body. And if something's not right, I'm going to do some research. I don't want to just listen to what someone else tells me, because like you said, I mean, they may have graduated 30 years ago and don't know the newest. So,
and you, it's not possible to know everything in healthcare. That doesn't mean they're not a great doctor. They're not good at, like, we don't manage blood pressure. We don't manage diabetes. I haven't adjusted insulin in 15 years. So that's not what I'm good at anymore. So I would not be participating in that because I haven't kept up on it. That's not my focus. But this is what we do. And this is what we research a lot.
Yeah. And word of mouth, hopefully with this podcast, people will hear it. And if they're talking to a girlfriend, she says she has this, 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 all these symptoms, you know, somebody can say, well, hey, have you checked out BioT? You know, she's carrying her bag that says BioT on the side. And so the next big question, and you know, this is always a touchy subject, but is this a cost-effective thing? Is it super expensive, or does insurance cover it? Or
I wish it did. If you lived in France, you'd be covered, I believe, but not here. So it's not covered by insurance. There are different practices that manage this different ways. So in our practice, women see us about every 4 months, and it's $375 for the pellets, and then no clinic fee. So there's no charge to walk in the door. We don't want to talk to United Healthcare again because they're really tough to bill. And then it's not fair to the folks who have Kaiser because then, you know, they're just out. So we don't charge a clinic visit fee in our practice. It's just what makes more sense to us. The guys are different. The men are every 4 months for a modified at $550 or every 5 months at a full dose. And that's $700. The men need a lot of testosterone. So that's, and then labs with us, because we are out of network with all insurance, we do a negotiated cash price with LabCorp. So our big giant once a year panel is $150. And then follow-up labs are like $45 to $85, depending on what we need to check. And those are, you know, right after your first round of pellets, we need to check the dose. If we ever tinker with your dose, go up here on that lower on that one, we check again, you know, 4 to 6 weeks later. And those, like I said, $45 to $85. So it's out of pocket. With our practice, you can use a FSA or HSA.
Okay. That was going to be my next question.
It counts towards FSA, HSA, 100% of it. The labs, pellets, the nutraceuticals, because sometimes it's a vitamin and sometimes it's prescription and sometimes it's a pellet. Whatever we find that's missing, we're going to fix. And the HSA can be used for all of those. And we always do an itemized receipt because a lot of people actually want to use their Southwest credit card to get their miles and then resubmit to their FSA when they get home. Yeah, we do invoicing for that. So that makes it easy. Everybody wants to get their points and their tax deduction. So we're good. We can do that.
And just so that people know what the pre-pellet panel consists of, in case anyone's curious, it's going to be your complete blood cell counts, your comprehensive metabolic panel that's looking at kidney and liver function, full thyroid panel, vitamin D, vitamin B12, and their specific hormones. For men, we also check a PSA, which is checking their prostate function as well.
Okay.
So, you know, just, is it cost effective?
Right.
You know, it is out of pocket. You know, you can get your tax deduction through your FSA, HSA, but again, 59% reduction in the risk of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's cost effective.
Right.
And
it's an investment almost.
It's a 40-some% reduction in the risk of Alzheimer's for men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we go down that list of, you know, all-cause mortality below 600 and prostate issues below 700, those are expensive conditions that change the way you live. And if we can catch it early, I can prevent those. And right now, the best technology is pellets.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 10 years or something different, I don't know. But right now, that is the very best, tightest controlled, most predictable, best tolerated delivery.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at. It's the best. So that's what we use. So it's one of those, like, I will never go without it. Yeah. And
the common question that I typically will get from new patients is, how long do I do this for?
Right. Yeah. That was coming up.
Yeah. It's for however long you want to do it for. If you're feeling great, why would you stop? My eldest is 82 years old. So it's for however long that you're feeling great on it, that you continue on. I mean, you're not planning on stopping anytime soon.
I'll stop when I die. Like, I'm not gonna stop until I die. So it's also like, when do I stop my pellets? Is like, well, when do you want to get old? Right. When do you want to stop functioning?
Yeah, you'll go back to baseline again. It will wear off and you'll go back to baseline. Yeah.
And well, actually, you'll go back to lower than baseline.
Oh, true. As you get older.
As you age, your body's natural ability to produce any of these hormones is going to decline underneath. Mm-hmm. And so you take them away, you're going to be really behind. And the problem is when we age, and this was when I was in my geriatric practice, you know, I would bend heaven and earth to make sure my patients kept functionality. The ability to walk to dinner, the ability to put your own shoes on, the ability to put your own pants on, brush your own teeth, get your own shower. These are things that keep you home. These are things that keep you out of maybe an assisted living instead of a nursing home. You know, these are big measures of, can you actually own your own life?
Mm-hmm.
And without testosterone, there's no muscle tone coming back to that quadricep. You're not going to pick up your leg enough to put a shoe on and put pants on. And so when you look at people as you age, one of the biggest things that gets you after age 70, 75 is a fall. So that's testosterone, because that is core muscle stability. That is body coordination. And that's testosterone. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that's going to get you is you'll have an incident, maybe a pneumonia, maybe a, you know, something goes wrong. If you take a person over the age of 65 and you put them in the hospital for a week, they lose 10% of their muscle mass, and it probably doesn't come back if they're not on hormone replacement therapy. So you start going down this very slippery slope of not being able to stay independent. So for me, and what I recommend is, as long as you're functioning and you're able to do what you want to do in a body that's working, this is how I can keep you there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a way to keep you there if you don't do this. So when to stop? I don't know. When you're ready to not have all of this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and it's not like you're having to remember to take a pill every day or give yourself a shot or whatever. It's once every few months. And
For the pellet. Sometimes people do.
For the pellets. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If their thyroid is bad, they will.
Yeah.
For the pellets,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pellets are easy and they travel well. They clear customs just fine. Yeah. So if you're on a cream, certain countries won't let you bring them in because testosterone is a controlled substance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that
was in Sex in the City Part 2, that movie. They took all of her
creams.
It's Samantha character. They took them all away. She went to menopause.
She's like, no, you can't have those.
And I'm like, you should have seen me. I would have pelleted you. You've been fine.
Yeah, if that were shot today, she'd be seeing you.
Exactly.
So if someone is in the Denver area and would be interested in talking with you guys about BHRT, how do they get a hold of you?
So you just call the clinic line. We also have a website, and you can email us through the website. So our website is cunninghamclinic.com. Mm-hmm. And then our clinic line is manned Monday to Friday during business hours. We will call you back at the in the evenings sometimes, because that's me. And that number is 720-650-4660. Typically, you'll make two appointments when you first call. One is the lab draw appointment, and that's either with me or Christina or our nurse, Eileen, who's wonderful. So any of us can draw the blood. And then a week later, you'll come back and see Christina or I for the lab evaluation. Here's the plan. And if you want to, you can get your pellets that day. Mm-hmm. There is a restriction after pellets. Every time you get your pellets, for a woman, it's 3 days, no soaking, no exercising. And that's, I like to tell people, it's like your nails, it's dry, but not set. Mm-hmm. So because those pellets sit in that subcutaneous fat, we really need it to set up. Mm-hmm. And if you exercise and flex that glute muscle too much in the first 3 days, you can actually walk them back out, and they won't do any good if they don't stay in your body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more of a men thing. Men will pop out pellets because they never follow the rules. It's seven days.
It's 7 days for men.
Seven days for men. And then the no soaking is, it's a tiny incision. And so if you just don't submerge your hip in water, then we can get the infection rate to almost zero. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you go, you know, if you get in the ocean the next day, you might get a round of antibiotics after that.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that it heals up beautifully. There's typically no scarring.
And patients leave with the dressing on, just so that, you know, we usually do Steri-Strips over that incision, some gauze, and then a transparent clear dressing so that they're able to visibly see where it was placed at. And they leave that on for 3 days for females, 7 days for men.
And so that keeps it clean and dry when they take a shower. You can put your back to the shower that same day. That's fine. You're allowed to be clean. You just can't soak.
Right. Okay. So for my listeners that are not in the Denver area and they want to look into this, where would you suggest that they turn? Who do they need to look for? What are they looking for?
Yeah, great question. So you're going to go to biotmedical.com, www.biotmedical.com. You will see a tab at the top that says find a provider. You'll click on that tab and then you will enter in your zip code, and a list of providers, certified biot providers, will be displayed for you. And then the individual can kind of do some stalking and figure out which one, you know, sounds good to that person, that individual, and set up an appointment. Mm-hmm. It's that easy.
It sounds almost too good to be true. I mean, seriously.
Well, so we're all a little different. You know, some places will charge a clinic visit fee, you know, just like you go to the doctor for strep throat, you got to pay to show up, but that's what insurance does cover. Right. So if you have insurance, that visit fee should be part of your insurance plan. Mm-hmm. There are some providers that charge an annual fee, and that covers everything, all your pellets, all your labs, all your stuff. That's more of like a concierge model. So there's different models out there for people. And sometimes it's, you know, your neighborhood gynecologist who's doing this, or your primary care provider. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different structures for people who do what we do. But what's really great, so I mentioned there's, I think, 12 different compounding pharmacies where we can buy these pellets from and then use them in our practice. BioT won't let you order any until you go and you do there's a whole lecture series that you have to attend, and you got to pass the test. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole clinical day where you have to demonstrate you can put the pellets in people, and you have to pass that day as well. Then you get certified, then you're allowed to buy from them. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do that. Right. That's just something I really appreciate in that company. Yeah. So that anybody out there who is administering BioT pellets for bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, that is somebody who's gone through a whole extra certification. Because you want to be gentle. I mean, it's a little bit of a procedure. Mm-hmm. And Christina and I are sort of known. People come from other practices and they go, oh my gosh, you guys are so nice. It didn't hurt at all. And it's nice because we really try to, you know, this is not a torture chamber, you know.
Right.
We want to make this procedure as comfortable as possible, and that, you know, you go home and you feel fine. Mm-hmm. And some people joke, they're like, I think they put their foot on the wall and shoved them in. So I'm like, no, we're super gentle. And so we wind up getting a lot of positive feedback when folks come to us from other practices, like they've moved here or something. They're just really happy.
Right. Okay. So my audience is mainly over 50. And if you were to meet someone like me and they don't know anything about hormone replacement therapy, what would be like just a minute spiel that you would give them to talk them in, or not really talk them into, but give them the lowdown on what this can do for them.
Okay, you got it. Okay. So
she's going to sell it really good.
Sell it to me.
So, I mean, this happens all the time. I'll be out at a wine tasting and they're like, what do you mean you do hormone replacement therapy?
Oh, I'm sure you've heard it a lot.
And so basically bioidentical hormone replacement therapy is tuning up your body. You know, we all would like to see 80, 90, maybe even triple digits, but I only want to get there if I'm living in a vessel that functions. You know, can I ride my bike? Can I climb a 14er? Can I, you know, do I still want to have sex at night? Like, these are big things, right? So when we do bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and all the pieces of it, so it's the sex hormones, the thyroid, the vitamins, we check all of it and we get that person tuned up. I like to say, I'm going to Benjamin Buttons you back as far as I can. And then I'm going to hold you there for as long as I can. Mm-hmm. Everything I do is designed to tune you up and heal you from the inside. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to check everything on a lab and then I'm going to fix everything that I have in my power to fix. Mm-hmm. And then you get to go and live in that body.
That's amazing. It's amazing. And okay, so I'm sold.
We do have some people who travel in to see us. And so we'll do remote draws through LabCorp and then they come in and we have people that we share with other practices. So we've got folks who live here and then they winter in Arizona or they winter in Florida. Mm-hmm. That's a really common thing. And so we do a really, we've got practices that we share people with all the time and it's very easy to do.
Well, that's nice. That's nice to know so that you're not stuck in one area. Like, I've got to go back. I got to fly back. Okay.
Yeah, we found that the BioT community is just a really lovely community. And we're all in it to help to actually do what we went into healthcare to do, which is actually affect positive change and help people live healthier. Now we actually get to do that. Like I said earlier, I used to treat geriatrics. Now I get to prevent all of that and keep people healthy as long as I can. And so it's just a community of really like-minded people. And so you find that it's just a really lovely way to share data and share patients. And it winds up being really easy to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's everybody's goal to live as well as they can and feel as good as they can for as long as they can. So I hope this really starts a conversation with people and who might get on and do some research and consider it. So I thank you guys so much for being here with me today and giving me all of this information. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we end?
I want to say thank you for having us for sure.
Oh, thank you.
There are books. So there is, there's one called Testosterone Matters More. And then there's the older one. Do we have that one here?
I know it's in Spanish, but I
here. So there's two books that actually Gary Donovitz, who I mentioned before, Dr. Donovitz, he has written two books about this. And the newest one is called Testosterone Matters More. We give these out for free. Most BioT clinics will just give these out. You can have it. Mm-hmm. I don't have a way to mail it to people right now, but I can figure out a way to do that. Mm-hmm. But they're free. And the initial one was actually an Amazon bestseller, which is great. And it's just a whole book's worth of Dr. Donovitz breaking all this down and talking about why we do it this way and why it's different from Europe and why it matters and what that means to how you live every day.
It's very easy to read. This is in Spanish because I also serve the Spanish community in Denver. Mm-hmm. So we have quite a handful of Spanish-speaking individuals that come and see us too.
We are I think we're the only truly bilingual hormone replacement therapy clinic in Denver. And by we, I mean Christina, because I don't speak Spanish. And at 50, I'm probably not going to learn Spanish. That neuroplasticity was about 45 years ago. So,
yeah, we need a Spanish pellet that we can put in. There we go.
And then our nurse Eileen also is bilingual. So we've got lots of folks who can help if you're Spanish speaking. It's just not me. I can muddle through a little bit, but it's Christina's your gal if you're Spanish.
There you go. Okay. All right. Well, awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. I hope you have a great rest of your day today.
Thank you.
You as well. Me too.
And it was a lot of fun. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Thanks to Kimberly and Christina for being on the podcast today. I love how Kimberly wants to be of service to her clients. And instead of treating geriatric issues, she's able to prevent geriatric issues with bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, as well as through the other services that she offers at her clinic. In talking about hormones and hormone replacement, I'm reminded of the movie Fried Green Tomatoes. I don't know if you remember that movie or not, but Ninny tells a crying Evelyn that she needs to go get her some hormones. I mean, it kind of feels that people in the past have used hormone replacement therapy almost like a punchline. But the complaints of menopause are real. And I think it's becoming much more well known that bioidentical hormone replacement therapy is a safe and effective way to treat menopause and will lower your risk for other age-related illnesses as well. Not only for just women, but for men as well. Here are a few of the top lines from our conversation today. Number one, hormone replacement therapy is basically replacing what has been lost, and it's more than just estrogen and testosterone. It's also your vitamin D and thyroid, and it's important to tune them all up. Number two, women go through menopause and men go through andropause. Number three, testosterone is the most important hormone in both men and women. It helps build muscle tone and contributes to bone health. It also deals with all the antis, anti-diabetic, anti-cancer, anti-Alzheimer's, anti-heart disease, high blood pressure, anti-autoimmune disorders, and anti-inflammation. Number four, testosterone in women starts to fall 15 years before the beginning of menopause. Number five, by age 40, most women can lose up to 50% or more of their testosterone. Number six, women's testosterone levels should be between 80 and 250. Below 30, women don't grow muscle mass. And below 20, women don't really grow bone. Number seven, men's testosterone levels should be anywhere between 900 and 1100. Below 900, there is an increase of Alzheimer's. Below 700, men may start to develop prostate issues. Below 600, there is a six-fold increase in mortality. And below 500, men start to develop metabolic issues. Number eight, pellets and bioidentical hormone replacement therapy have been used for 100 years. It is not a new thing, but it is new here in the United States. Number nine, the pellets are plant-based from Central American yams, which have the bioidentical estrogen and testosterone of humans. Estrogen and testosterone are distilled into tic-tac-sized pellets that are inserted into the hip and then work on time release. Number 10, BioT, that's B-I-O-T-E, is the manufacturer of the pellets used by the Cunningham Clinic. Number 11, the only side effect could be that when you are getting your hormones replaced, you might be thrown back into a bit of puberty. But once you go through that, then you get the benefits of all the good stuff. Number 12, women should also look to clinics like the Cunningham Clinic for thyroid issues and the measuring of free T3 instead of just the overall TSH and T4 levels. And number 13, people want to live to hit triple digits, but we all want to get there feeling good. We want to be able to live our lives and to be able to take care of ourselves. We just all need to take care and heal ourselves from the inside. Thank you for listening today. And I certainly hope that you have learned something, because I know I did. And I definitely hope that you learned something if you had a curiosity about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. You might have listened and now you're intrigued enough to get on the internet and do some research yourself. You can go to Kimberly and Christina's site, cunninghamclinic.com, or you can go to the biotmedical.com website and read about all the research, and then find a clinic in your area that represents BioT and give them a call. Talk to them. As always, if you think that this topic or this podcast is one that you would like to share, please do take a screenshot, share it on your social media, or just send the link to a friend. I think this is a good topic. And of course, as always, it's free. The information's free, and there's no reason to be uninformed. So till next time, everybody, I hope you stay well. I'm sending much love. Bye.